the future.
Philip Pritchard, thank you.
It's 7:45. Doctors who think homeopathy is a waste of time and money seem to be winning the argument. The NHS is turning its back on homeopathic treatments. Ray Tallis is Emeritus Professor at Manchester University, and he's one of many who have written to all the primary care trusts urging them to steer clear of what he describes as unproven remedies. He's on the line, so is Dr. Peter Fisher of the Royal London Homeopathic Hospital. Dr. Fisher, the problem is you can't prove in straightforward acceptable scientific tests that homeopathy works, can you?
No, I don't accept that. I think there's a lot of evidence that it does work, and certainly integrating it in NHS contexts, the evidence is clear. There's a lot of work from Germany. You get better results for the same cost.
Well, you get better results, if you get better results, because you spend a lot of time with the patient, and it's a different kind of treatment.
No, we've recently surveyed all the recent placebo-controlled studies. We did it for the World Health Organization. We found about 120 of them. 50% are clearly positive, a very small number are negative, and then there are quite a number with equivocal results.
Professor Tallis, there is evidence.
That's a rather curious presentation of the evidence. The authoritative review of the evidence that accompanies the letter to the directors commissioning the PCTs shows there is very little evidence at all that homeopathy does more than act as a placebo.
Very little? I thought you said there was none.
Well, you can get... if you look at very poorly designed trials, you get a result that favours homeopathy. If you look at well-designed trials and you look at rigorous systematic reviews, then the evidence evaporates. And, of course, if you're thinking about a treatment that is biologically implausible, you would expect the evidence to have to be very strong.
I mean, right. For those who don't know what it is, you dissolve something in a liquid until there's virtually none of it left. In practice,
Indeed, none of it left. Sometimes none of it at all. And the argument from those who believe in homeopathy is it leaves a kind of memory in the water. Well, water's about 4 billion years old, and it presumably has lots of memories, and one would be surprised if it selectively remembered its encounter with a homeopathic physician. Mm. So the kind of explanation that is offered indicates that it is entirely implausible. It's basically magic thinking. So if you were going to try and persuade people to spend money or divert resources from things that work to things that are based on magic thinking, you would have to have very good evidence.
Yeah, but if they think it works, if somebody goes to a homeopathic doctor, a physician of any sort, and gets the treatment and is then better as a result of it, it's worked, hasn't it?
Well, homeopaths would say that what they do has more effect than what you've described, which is a placebo effect. And it seems to me rather unusual use of NHS resources to have hospitals devoted to providing placebos.
Ah, that is the point, isn't it, Dr. Fisher?
Well, for one thing, we don't just do homeopathy, despite the name we have provided.
No, but we're dealing with homeopathy at the moment, yeah.
Well, as I say, I haven't seen this authoritative review that Professor Tallis is talking about, but as I say, we have very recently surveyed all the evidence, all the good quality evidence for the World Health Organization. The German Krankenkasse, the big health insurance companies, have done a number of studies which show you are not diverting resources. Actually,
but you're bound to be if you're spending money on homeopathy as opposed to something else.
No, because you get a better result by integrating it, and it's important that we're talking about integration.
Not a substitute. So you're not saying have homeopathy instead of...
We're integrating it within NHS services. In University College London, which is one of the leading, you know, biomedical centres in the country. So integrating it gives you more bang for your bucks. You get better results for the same cost. So it's not diverting resources.
But it's got to cost money.
It costs money, but it gives benefit.
Well, all right.
I mean, every medical treatment costs money.
That's certainly true, and there's a danger here, Professor Tallis, it becomes a circular argument. The fact is, if it produces benefit, and if it doesn't cost that much money, and if it isn't diverting resources, then why not?
Well, first of all, the use of the word integrate is interesting. I mean, I suppose you can regard combining medicines that don't work with medicines that do work as a kind of integrative approach.
Well, yeah, but nobody would do that. I
mean. Yeah, well, exactly. But it seems to me that if you're going to try and persuade the public to accept some rather tough decisions about which resources are going to be made available to people, the National Institute of Clinical Excellence has to make those kind of tough recommendations, then it's going to be much more difficult if people also notice that treatments based on magic thinking, as it were, are allowed in and are funded on the basis of very, very little evidence, very poor evidence.
Yeah, but again, if people think it works for them, and it does work for them, a few quid here or there is probably money well spent, isn't it?
Well, you say a few quid. We're talking about tens of millions, and to you that may be small change. To me, that looks quite a large sum of money.
No,
tens of millions? I don't know where that number comes from.
All right, there we are. We'll have to end it at that. Thanks both very much indeed, Peter Fisher and Ray Tallis.
10 to 8, time for Thought for the Day. In Bath this morning.